Summer is right around the corner, and make it your best season yet with nutritious 2-minute meals from Factor. Eating well has never been this easy. All you need to do is heat it up and enjoy, giving you more time to do what you want. Get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, perfect for any active lifestyle. I've been absolutely loving my Factor meals. I have so many options to choose from, and they all are nutritious and healthy and so easy to heat up and eat. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. So it's easy to savor more this season because Factor meals pack in the flavor with none of the fuss. So get started at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off and use code barbknowsbest50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code barbknowsbest50off at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off for 50% off plus free shipping.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey friends, welcome back to Life Happens podcast. Do you ever feel lonely even though you're constantly connected? Between texts, scrolls, and endless notifications, it could seem like we're more plugged in than ever, but still missing that real connection. In this week's episode, my mom and I talk about how digital life is impacting our mental health and what it actually takes to feel grounded again. We share our own experiences across generations and some simple ways to reconnect with yourself and the people around you. If you're feeling overwhelmed or just a little off, this week's episode is for you. Let's dive in. Hi, Mom. How's it going? I'm so happy to be chatting with you today.
It's going really well, Michelle. I'm so happy to be here.
Like you often say, how's it going being you today?
Yes. How is it going being you today?
It's going well being me today. I'm excited to have this conversation with you. Lots of thoughts swirling around in my brain right now and can't wait to give them a home in this show.
Ah, I love that.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. When we talk about feelings, which we talk about, I think, in every single episode of the show, you know, we discuss the importance of allowing them to come up, not having judgments, letting them, you know, go through us. Really, that feelings have a purpose in our lives and they are, you know, indicators of what's happening for us in the external world, which I think you and I can agree is true. An interesting feeling that I think is affecting a lot of us right now, given the world that we live in, given the lives that we're living, given the advancements in our society, is loneliness. I know I hear or I read headlines all the time about the loneliness epidemic. People are feeling more lonely than ever. And that's fascinating to me because it also feels like we're more connected than ever via social media, via technology. I can reach you at any time, any place, any day, which was not the case in my childhood. So again, it seems like things have advanced pretty quickly to where we're extremely connected technologically speaking, but maybe feeling disconnected as far as human connection goes. I'd like to get your thoughts about that today, Mom, because I believe, and I know, or I have a feeling that you might back this up, that there's a space for mindfulness and presence and practices that can start to help us maybe chip away at those feelings of loneliness and disconnect.
Yes, and I couldn't agree with you more. It is kind of ironic, isn't it, that we are more connected than ever before in our lifetime. And when you were saying that you can reach me anytime now today,
anytime.
And you couldn't when you were a child. And I was just made me think about my mom because she loved being on the phone back then. And, you know, being on the phone was very, very expensive back in the 50s and the 60s and even the 70s and the 80s even.
Well, even when I was a teenager, we had minutes.
Yes.
And if you went over your minutes, you had to wait until the next billing cycle to not go over, which is really wild to think about.
And I'm talking about having minutes on a landline that's plugged into the wall. So it's so amazing. And she loved being on the phone. And I remember that was one of the bigger fights in our household was she was using the phone too much and we couldn't afford it.
Because too expensive.
We didn't have a lot of money. So how much she would be relishing, I think, the times today that we can stay connected so easily.
Yeah.
And I always felt like she wanted to be connected on the phone a lot because she did feel lonely. My mother felt very lonely most of her life. And surrounded, though, by 5 children and a husband and a huge family, extended family. So it seems ironic, but I don't think that the two are connected. And that's what I love about this time that we're living in so much. That if we're relying, and that's why mindfulness is so important, if we're relying on our connectedness to be in the external world, we are going to feel lonely possibly when we are connected to the external world if we don't have also a connection within us. If we're not understanding and feeling present and connected with our own inner strength or our own bodies or the feelings that we have within, if we're so disconnected from that energy of ourselves being grounded where we are in the present moment, and everything is reliant on the external world, it's going to cause loneliness. Mm-hmm. And I know that there is an epidemic, I think, of loneliness happening right now. I've been reading some stats on it. And it's so crucial now more than ever to understand what can be some of the causes of loneliness and that you can have 30 friends and still feel lonely.
Yeah.
Or you can be an influencer on social media and still feel lonely.
Yeah.
So it used to be that we didn't connect that so much back then because we didn't have all this external stuff going on.
Yeah.
And now we are. So what do we do about it? And I think that's what I love about this episode today. Like, what do we do about it? Or what can we individually do about it and collectively?
I think you bring up a really interesting point to first acknowledge and bring to the conversation that often people are feeling lonely are the ones who maybe you would least expect it. Like you were talking about your mom feeling lonely, even though she had a house full of people or had a full community, having, you know, literal bodies around her, but still feeling that disconnect of connection from other people. I mean, we hear in like societal anecdotes of, influencers, celebrities, high-powered people, you know, reaching huge success financially or stature and power, often feeling loneliness or disconnect from the external world. And so I think it's important to just acknowledge that as a truth or bring it up that no matter your stature or what it might appear like in the external world or how many people you even have around you, the feelings that you're feeling inside can happen at any time and the loneliness can hit you despite all of that we talk about so often on the show, but breaking down the judgment of loneliness, like it's okay to be lonely or to feel sad and disconnected. Like you said, what do we do about it? You always say often that you're like the scientist of your own life and you love to redefine and pick apart and find clues and things like that to explain a lot of these happenings in our society. But why do you think, or what are the contributors to loneliness or to feeling alone and disconnected?
So to break it down, I think we have to look at that it's always been here. Loneliness has always been a part of our human existence. And I think one of the things that you said about judgment, we are very quick to judge being lonely, but we're not so quick to judge alone.
Really?
I don't think so, because I've seen so much on
social... There's always like the loner. I guess maybe growing up, if you were a loner, you were weird. Maybe it's different now.
I think the idea of loner in my mind does kind of go hand in hand with lonely a little bit. And mentally, that's what I'm kind of thinking. But now it's okay to give people space or to give people, you can be alone.
Self-care.
Or having my alone time. Self-care. We practice and we talk about this on social media and in our conversations more often than we ever did before in my lifetime.
Yeah.
But being lonely has always been judged. Like there's something wrong with me or I am a loner or why am I so lonely? And we also judge ourselves very, very harshly on that. I think when we look at everything in life today, you know, we've always had anxiety. We've always had all the things that we're talking about so much today, but we've never been in touch with it 24/7. I was a loner at school and I was very lonely growing up. I had no friends. So I had
every time you say that, I feel so sad.
I was very much, you know, I had a very traumatic childhood, but I just was very much alone. I was very
insular.
And I had four brothers and sister. And so I was very much to myself and felt lonely, and it kind of manifested from that place where that's just who I am and that's how I'm going to be. And so it's always been part of the human existence where I want to go with that, where today we have social media. So at least though I could be at school feeling alone or feeling lonely or feeling like I didn't matter or feeling like I didn't fit in, but I could go home and go up in my room and shut the door. And we only had one television. We didn't have much at all externally in our household, material things. We had no computers. We had no phones. So it's very interesting to me though, 24/7 we are connected, as you said, to start this episode. And we're also connected visually. We are connected on social media. We're connected with the news. We're connected with everything. The comparisons I had about myself back then and the expectations that I have, what's wrong with me? Barb, you don't matter. It's only the external world that matters. So what you do, how you look, how much money you have, that is all the most important thing. None of anything else matters. Imagine if you're looking at that 24/7, if you don't have any sense of connection to yourself. Wait a minute, I've been on my screen now for 5 hours. I'm actually feeling tired, or I'm actually feeling overloaded. If we don't have that, we're going to keep going and keep going. And all of that energy of comparisons, competition, looking at what other people are showing us on their social media feed, it's very normal, I think, or very natural. Maybe not normal is the right word, but natural that we would be feeling or maybe having a little bit of a loneliness epidemic, even though we're connected more than we've ever been before.
So I have a question for you. When you would go up into your bedroom as a child and be alone, did you feel lonely in your own company, or was that a soothing practice?
That's a really loaded question, because that's where we need to go with this conversation, actually, because that is the issue for feeling lonely, is that we are so disconnected from ourselves that we don't have a relationship with ourselves, that we can't figure out, I'm feeling lonely right now. What can I do to self-soothe? What can I actually do right now in this moment? And so I think if you don't have a relationship with yourself where you feel like, okay, let me go read a book, or let me go call a friend, or let me be the one to take the action to reach out for something that I feel like I want to do or need in this moment. What do I need right now, Barb, to make myself feel not lonely? And so I didn't have any of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any relationship with myself except for the fact that
Do you think it was like an instinctual thing? Like, I'm just going to go be by myself because...
I wanted to escape. Okay. I wanted to escape life. I didn't fit in. I didn't think that I mattered as a human being. But I think today it doesn't make sense because we're so connected. You know, I didn't talk about any of this back then. I only learned all of this when I went into treatment for bulimia in 1984 and I started in massive therapy and all the trauma. So today, if you kind of fast forward, what does it look like today when someone is like me, who maybe has some sort of an eating disorder or alcoholism or addiction or something in their life or some kind of severe trauma that they've endured as a child? What do you do with it? Mm-hmm. And so if you don't have the privilege of having money for treatment or money for therapy or money for something like that, what do I do with all of those feelings that I have of insecurity, of no worth, I don't matter, everyone else is better than I am, I don't deserve. So you've got all this happening because you have all of this coming at you. Oh, I'm lonely because I manifested it, because I'm not worthy. I had so many people say that to me, especially when you and I work with teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, the eating disorders are rampant, especially in the female population and the girls of eating disorders. And so you're getting all of this coming in to affirm what you already know to be true from the inside out. I'm not worthy. Oh, this is why I'm lonely. I go into school, let's say, and I'm being bullied, or something is happening and people aren't liking me, or they're shunning me because I don't have the right purse, or I don't have the right shoes,
yeah,
or any of those things.
Right.
And I used to think that too. I didn't have the right shoes. I had hand-me-down clothes. I didn't have any of that, but I didn't have it in my face 24/7. I wasn't actually looking on social media to have that confirmation that I'm right. Mm. I am worthless. I don't have what I need to be included, to not feel lonely. So it's kind of today, there's a validation of the loneliness. And the more I think that we participate in the social media to the degree that there is no separation, that we're not knowing that I've had enough, or wait a minute, people are only putting their highlight reels on social media. Maybe there are a lot of people out there feeling the same way that I am. I'm not really alone. I'm not really lonely. I just kind of need to put myself out there because maybe there is that point when I read this quote on social media that says, you matter. Remember that everything you need is on the inside. If you'd have said that to me when I was a 12-year-old, I would not have had a clue to know what you were talking about. Right. What do you mean, everything I need is on the inside? Right. Everything I need is on the outside. So that's a really long answer to your question. Instead of believing every single thing we see on social media and only looking at the things that are causing me to doubt myself and being able to shift that, how can I actually shift that mindset into, let me look at some good things that are on social media that actually feel real, that actually is a reality. And there have to be some people out there like me that are posting maybe some truthful things on social media.
Yeah. Okay. A lot to unpack there. That was a lot of things.
It's very personal for me. I think I feel very strongly when you and I do, as I said, do so much work with teenagers and so much work with college age students, so much work with athletes. And there's so much pressure to be whatever it is out there that the external world and social media is telling us that we have to have and we have to be this way.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that despite being hyper-connected 24/7 in this technological world, it's breeding disconnect because it's affirming to us the self-doubts and judgments and criticisms that we have for ourselves. Like we're seeing the proof of the negative thoughts that we might have about ourselves, but it's also feeding comparisons and it's feeding the thoughts and emotions that I'm not good enough and I'm not worthy. So why does it matter? I'm just going to take myself out of the equation. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that. And I'm also saying that if you're spending so much time on social media or you're spending so much time on technology, you're not getting the truth of what is happening in life.
You're not getting what's real.
You're not getting reality. You're taking in the highlight reels, what I said earlier. You're taking in things that people want you to see so that they can elevate themselves. And it's curated and all of the things like that. So the bottom line of it for me is that I get you if you're feeling this way. I totally get you because I have been there. Mm-hmm. I've been at the lowest of the low. I have been in many years of therapy. I've been in many, many years of sorting myself out to the fact I'm at a place today where I do matter.
Right.
And how I feel matters. And what I think about myself matters. And so I'm in a place where the relationship that I have with me is the most important relationship that I have in life so that I can discern now what is real on social media. So I can say, wait a minute, I'm taking in too much negativity. There's so many heartbreaking things happening in the world around us. There's so many heartbreaking things happening even in our own communities. Mm-hmm. Where can I find respite from that? And where can I find truth and reality of what I need to be my best self and show up the best that I possibly can? And some days it's just to get out of bed and show up and then go back to sleep. And some days I'm on a roll and I am really living my best life and accomplishing so many things, but I'm never judging and doubting myself in a way that it takes me down to a place like they're better than I am. I was told my whole childhood, you are stupid, Barbara. And so when you have those things happening, and I think that that's kind of what gets internalized if you don't have the discernment and the ability to take yourself out of that place of everything out there is right and there's something wrong with me.
I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. My mom and I have always been a big berry family, which means we've always had berries in the fridge, which is why I've been absolutely loving Washington Red Raspberries. They are the shortcut to delicious because Washington Red Raspberries are picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in bright, sweet tart flavor with no added sugars or preservatives. Just the good stuff. I've been loving having these frozen berries in my freezer so I can put them in smoothies, put them in baked goods, all of the delicious stuff without all of the fuss. These berries aren't a byproduct of fresh. They're crafted specifically to be frozen, which means they're better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. They're grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, and they're frozen with care to ensure the top quality and food safety. Plus, frozen fruit lasts longer, helps cut food waste, and is always ready when you are, which we absolutely love. You can find Washington Red Raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers like Kroger, Meijer, Winco Foods, and Costco. And always make sure to look for the product of the U.S. on the bag. They're also featured in popular products like Smucker's Uncrustables with red raspberry filling, as well as Smucker's Raspberry Jam. So, want to learn more on where to find American frozen red raspberries plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find participating retailers and inspiration for every meal, plus info on how those berries can go from farm to freezer with quality you can taste. Feeling healthy, energized, and good about ourselves from the inside out are things that we all desire, but don't always know how to put it into practice. I know firsthand on my own health journey, I've often felt frustrated, confused, and overwhelmed about what to trust, what to believe, and what to do to optimize my health. I've often felt like I've been doing everything right, eating well, exercising, and yet still not experiencing the life that I'm looking for. My energy's been low. I've had mood swings. I've had brain fog. And I've been wondering, where am I going wrong? Which is where Happy Mammoth comes in. I know firsthand how much stress can mess with your hormones and how much hormones can impact our daily health. Happy Mammoth offers a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. You just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz and I absolutely loved learning more about insights about the information about where I'm at now in my life and what I could be doing to help optimize my health and balance my hormones. Happy Mammoth is a company that created Hormone Harmony and is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Happy Mammoth offers a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. And with personalized recommendations from the quiz, you'll know exactly where to start. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you'll also get 15% off your entire first order with our code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today. Do you remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took that test myself and the results absolutely blew my mind. By taking the test, I found out my biological age, which directly predicts my risk for serious diseases. And here's why that matters. Research shows that if your biological age is even 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. Which is huge and completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. Of course, it's driven by things like lifestyle, habits, and the environment you're in, but you do still have a lot of control. I took the True Age test and I just learned so much about my health, wellness, and what I can do to be more in control of how I feel and how I'm aging. The test didn't just give me a number, it showed me how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, which of course was eye-opening. The best thing is the test itself is super easy and convenient. I did it from home, no doctor visit or big needles, just a quick, painless finger prick. You send that tiny sample off in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and your health. Fast and hassle-free. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use our code BARBKNOWSBEST to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
So what was that path to, what was your journey to starting to connect with yourself, tap into mindfulness, tap into self-love and self-compassion so that you can start to discern between the things that you see in the external world versus, you know, the thoughts that you're thinking about yourself on the internal? What's that journey? Or if someone is resonating with you but doesn't know where to start, how can we start to
counteract these feelings of loneliness and really start to connect with ourselves?
Well, I think that's a brilliant question, because I think that is where social media could be a benefit. You know, I'm on social media, you're on social media, and we put out content like exactly what you just said, because this is what our lived experience is. And this is how we have transformed feeling like we don't matter and we're nothing into all of us do matter. All of humanity matters. How can we one little baby step at a time raise everyone up? That's really the whole point of our lives in terms of the work that we do. So there are places on social media where I can start to little bit of a glimpse, like just crack the window open. Like if you're listening to someone on social media talk about you do matter. So maybe in little bitty baby steps, start looking for content that's positive, that's reinforcing how I want to feel or where I want to go, instead of constantly comparing and contrasting and competing and taking in the negativity. There's that. If you happen to have access to therapy or happen to have access to another human that you can be vulnerable with, start talking about it. Start sharing your feelings a little bit. Now, I'm never talking about the extremes of addiction, you know, or the extremes of mental illnesses that are there. Like, that would not have worked for me. I needed to go into treatment because I was a full-blown 7-year suffering from an eating disorder of bulimia. If someone just told me, start loving yourself more, Barb, go learn how to mindful eat and, you know, stop eating so much. And I mean, it just would never have worked. I had too much trauma in my childhood that I believe was contributing to the way that I was feeling. So there needs to be sometimes some external person in your life or people in your life or community in your life. But my journey has been to do that, to interrupt all of that with a place of saying, I need help. A voice in my head said, you are going to die. Go get help. So if you're feeling that you're in that place, finding another person, finding a way to get some external positive evaluation or feedback or affirmation that there is a way through it, and it's not because you're not worthy and it's not because you don't matter, all of that is a lie. That the way through it is really to start being able to connect with yourself. So that's where mindfulness, you're asking me about my journey. I learned how to meditate. I learned about being mindful. I learned about, you know, actually not believing those false thoughts in the mind.
And yoga, connecting with my body.
But I just said something really profound right now that really changed everything is we believe everything that the mind says.
Right.
And when you look at the research of the mind, we think over how many thoughts a day, Michelle?
I think it's something like 70,000.
70,000 thoughts a day, research has shown. And of those 70,000 thoughts, 75% of those thoughts are negative. And of those 75% of the thoughts that are negative, 85% of those are repetitive. So we are all day long as humans believing the thoughts in the mind that are telling us we're no good, we're not smart enough, we're not rich enough, we're not happy enough, we don't matter. All those thoughts that the mind is thinking, because if you believe that, and I believe the research because there's so much scientific research that shows that the mind can be our greatest friend and ally and the mind can be our worst enemy.
Right.
So we have to be the boss of the thoughts in the mind and believe the things that are real and let the things that are not real go through us. And I, through the practice of mindfulness, of being able to take a pause and a thought comes in my mind today. I'm recovering from bulimia for 40 years. I still have a thought that might say, Barb, you're fat. So in that moment, since I'm in a mindfulness meditative practice where I can actually take a pause, I can believe that thought and then go take some destructive action. Or I can say, wait a minute, that's not true. The thought leaves. The thoughts only stay in the mind because we are engaging with them and we're believing them. So I know this has gone down a path now of the mind, but I think it is mindfulness and really, really believing, even with the slightest bit of belief, even if you can crack the door a little bit, what I was saying before, that, wait a minute, I do matter. What she's saying right now is truth. I can kind of believe that. Let me try it. So that's the first step. And so my journey has been that. It's been a practice of continually reinforcing the relationship with myself. I didn't love myself before. I didn't think that my mind was going to tell me truthful things, but it does. It can. We just have to be the boss of it, is what I call it. I'm the boss of my own mind. Yeah. I don't allow the mind to run amok and tell me things that aren't true. Or if I do, I'm able to recover myself. I'm able to rein myself back in. The recovery time is short, where I might be beating myself up about something that I didn't do because I'm a perfectionist. And I come back to the truth of, wait a minute, Barb, this is a good teaching. This is a good lesson that you learned.
Yeah, and we often say, especially when we're, you know, teaching young people or anyone about meditation and mindfulness, you can think of it like taking your brain to the gym. Mm-hmm. You know, we all can visualize going to the gym to strengthen a muscle or even practicing an instrument or a sport. You start as a beginner. You're not great at it. It's challenging. It's tough. You feel frustrated and you want to give up. But through repetition, through practice, through, you know, discipline, through commitment, because you know that it's something that matters to you, you strengthen those muscles. And I think through meditation and mindfulness, that is where we start to strengthen our minds to become, you know, as you said, the boss of our own minds. We can start to choose which thoughts we want to engage with and which ones we don't. And it's never going to be easy because life is challenging. We know that. But we can start to feel a little more confident and assured in our own discernment and how to tackle the thoughts that come into our minds. And I think reacting and taking in everything that you've just said, let's say, because it is such a different world now, you know, growing up in a highly technological world, what are the boundaries or practices or disciplines do you think are helpful or important to have in this time, especially, you know, with children, but even as adults? It's important for me to set boundaries with myself, with social media, with screen time, knowing what my limits are. So what do you think are good practices to have to build up that self-esteem and counteract some of the loneliness that we're feeling?
I think I'd like to back up just for one second, just
back
to say that the most important thing that you can do right now, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling like it's overwhelming, the world out there is overwhelming, and I'm not talking about the extremes of where you may need some external intervention like I did. I'm talking about, what is your deepest desire? Like, what do you want right now? So it's so important to, what do I want? I want to not feel this way. Or I want to feel, this is where I think social media can be helpful. I want to feel like that person on social media is saying that they're able to feel now after 40 years of recovery. Like, what do I want? Because that's our deepest driving desire is what will propel us to recovery, or what will propel us into transformation, or what will take us on the journey, the lifetime journey, the lifelong journey, getting to a place of where we're trying to go. And what is that? What do I want? So we need to know. So if your desire is, I don't want to feel this way.
You want to feel better.
I want to feel better. I feel like what I'm seeing in the positive world out there could be true for me. I think the first—
Like the breadcrumb of, I can kind of believe that.
Isn't that what a therapist told you once, Michelle?
Yeah, life coach.
Our life
coach? I was
very
confused and unclear and didn't know what to do. And she just told me to follow the breadcrumbs. Like, I didn't have to have all of the answers or know everything that I needed to know or have everything that I needed to have, but I just had to follow those little breadcrumbs of the things that sparked joy or brought me peace or clarity or were interesting to me moment to moment. So is that, I guess, follow the breadcrumbs of the things that you can believe in and take in as true for yourself, especially in the digital space?
Yes, definitely. And look for those places on social media that are positive and that can be, that resonate with your heart, or once you know what your desire is, that, oh, that's speaking to me. Oh, that person is speaking to me. Because these, if they're really speaking to you from the inside out, chances are, and I believe it's truth, it's like, oh, this, I'm resonating with this person right now. Let me hear what they have to say. And limit the screen time, exactly what you said. And stop, you know, you don't have to go cold turkey, like they say, but, you know, stop listening to 5 hours a day of the content that's making you compare yourself and making you, and affirming for you what you think you know to be true is that you are not enough, you know, really limiting that. And so the way that I was able to do that through my meditation, mindfulness, treatment, all the things, it's been a progression of 40 years and, you know, finding teachers that resonated for me, finding books. I'm an avid reader of all of these things of self-care and fostering the connection that I have with myself, is start adding that into your day. Start adding that in. So I'm going to take, if I'm 5 hours on a screen time, I'm going to take maybe 4 hours away and 1 hour of this. And the more you keep adding into this, I'm going to take 3 hours a day. And you just start to see you're feeling a little bit better. I'm not quite feeling so lonely because I'm actually enjoying a little bit the company that I have with myself. And so that's why I think you see on people posting a lot, I like my alone time. As a lonely person, I couldn't imagine liking my alone time. But so now alone time is okay. Now alone time people glorify, which is a nice thing. But if you're feeling lonely, it's hard to connect with those two. So the more that you can start feeling like, oh yeah, I like my alone time a tiny bit more because I'm not feeling like it's so awful being with me and those negative thoughts in my head. And so I think it's little by little like that. And the one thing that I would share that's helped me probably especially in the early days is the idea of finding affirmations or mantras. I think there are many people in the world today that know what affirmations and mantras are, which is the beauty of social media, which is the beauty of the 24/7 being connected.
Repeating those positive phrases that can help uplift you or bring you out of that space if you're feeling down.
That are truthful. So we just said the stat in the mind that we have all these negative things happening in the mind 24/7, even while we're sleeping. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
You have nightmares. You have, the mind is going 24/7. It never takes a break unless you ask it to take a break, unless you consciously say, I'm not going to pay attention to these thoughts in the mind. I'm going to just actually rest in the quiet or rest in the silence. So affirmations are truth. And so one of the greatest, I went on a retreat in the early 90s with the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. And there were 1,000 people in this retreat up in New York. And imagine 1,000 people being 10 days in silence, being 10 days in quiet. So imagine that as me who was, you know, just on the journey of my recovery, you know, 10 years in, you know, 9 to 10 years in. And I'm at a retreat where you're not talking. So I'm not saying that everyone
should. What was his instruction?
I'm not saying that everyone should do that. What I'm trying to say is that that's the possibility that you can get to a place. His instructions were only to be where your feet are. So every time your mind is racing, every time you're feeling that pang of loneliness and I don't matter, take a deep breath, be where my feet are. Because in this moment, where my feet are, away from the thoughts in the mind that are telling me that I'm not enough, away from the social media that's telling me that I need this, this, and this in order to be happy, in this moment, I can take a deep breath and kind of just be, just for that moment. It may come back in the next moment, be where my feet are in this moment. The practice is bringing yourself back to yourself, bring yourself back to a moment of peace, really. Peace means strength to me. Peace means confidence. Peace means courage. Bringing myself back to this place of, okay, I got this for this moment. And I can string a moment and a moment and a moment together where a moment can be 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Whoa, I just spent 5 minutes bringing myself back every time my mind said I wasn't worthy to a place of, I got this. And what happens internally is you start to not only get it, you start to embody it. You're transforming that negative feelings that you have about yourself because you're uncovering the love that's already within you. When you and I talk about, Michelle, that you already have what you need inside or you already are that love inside, it's so covered up and been so traumatized by society. And no judgment on the external world in terms of that they caused this to happen. They're the blame. No, it's just the way the human experience, I think, can evolve.
Yeah.
Not for all people, but for many of us. And that's what happened for me. So I think it's that stringing like one, you know, the one day at a time, one moment at a time, be where your feet are one moment at a time. And he changed my life when that was the only instruction we got. We sat in silence, we ate in silence, we walked in silence. And he talked about, you know, he spoke in eloquent terms about life and problems and all the things that we all talk about and that we hear. But the greatest instruction he gave us was take all of that external stuff and come back to where your feet are.
Yeah, so powerful.
And it works. And I think that you're asking me, where did the journey take me? It takes you to there. And then once you believe, once you feel the feelings of knowing and having the personal experience of, wow, this just worked. I am calm for this one moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I can string those moments together.
Totally.
I guess I would ask you, Michelle, how has social media affected you? I'm curious to hear your take. You know, there's 30-year age difference between us. I'm curious as a younger person, what your feelings are about social media and how mindfulness, knowing that you have a mindfulness practice, how has that all interacted for you?
Yeah, I think certainly social media.
And do you ever feel lonely?
Of course.
Incorporate that into it, please.
I feel lonely often. I think I felt lonely a lot as a younger person and battled and judged those feelings quite a lot. But I think with my own practice and mindfulness and meditation and just being in therapy and reinforcing everything that you just said about myself, I've built up the self-love and self-confidence to know that I can be alone and that's okay. And it doesn't say anything about me or my self-worth if I'm not constantly with people. You know, social media is tricky. It brings up a lot. It's like a mirror. You know, you're forced to look at things about yourself that maybe you're trying to avoid, the comparisons, the judgments. I should be here, the shoulds. I wish I was like this. I wish I was more like that. I wish my life was more like this. And I think that is an interesting aspect of social media. But I think it's also important to talk about in this conversation what social media in general has really done to our ability to be present. Because I think, too, so often, you know, we started this conversation by saying you can be with people and still feel lonely. I think screens and technology are fostering that more than ever, because even if you're with someone, if they're, you know, on their device looking at something while you're trying to have a conversation, you're not feeling that human connection that you would if you're actually looking each other in the eye, engaging in a connected conversation. And so that's really where I've felt, you know, the effects of social media and technology, where our attention is divided. We're not as present as we were when we're with our people. We're checking emails, checking social media, texting someone else while you're with someone. And for me, it's all about my practice in my life of how can I be present when I'm with people so that they can know that, like you say all the time to me, when you're with me, you're getting all of me. That's where I leave a conversation or an interaction feeling like, oh, wow, that was a great time. I feel like my cup has been filled by that emotional or social interaction. That was really good for my mental well-being. As opposed to sometimes you can be with someone, you're on your phone, they're on their phone, and you leave and you're like, I don't even know what we just did. I don't even know what we just talked about. That might as well not have even happened. And that's kind of the small distinction with big impact, where if you can just practice the presence, set an intention, maybe if I'm with someone that I really care about, that I know will breed that emotional connection, I want to make sure that I'm with them when I'm with them. And I don't know if it's maybe putting your phone aside or do not disturb or something like that, but that's where I've found the antidote to that loneliness, because it is so interesting. We talk about self-love, self-care, health, wellness, happiness, and I don't think we really realize the damage that loneliness, that deep-seated loneliness that lives within us, it has a huge toll and impact on our physical health as well. And I thought it was fascinating that, according to the former U.S. Surgeon General, loneliness and weak social connections are associated with a reduction in lifespan similar to that caused by smoking 15 cigarettes a day. We all know smoking is bad. I mean, that's what we've heard for our entire lives. 15 cigarettes seems like an enormous amount to smoke in a day. Thinking that loneliness, unchecked loneliness, can have the same toll on our health as 15 cigarettes a day, I mean, that's like a siren in my brain of like, oh my gosh, that's something that needs to be addressed. For me, what's helped my loneliness is presence. Presence with people and presence with myself.
I love that. I have such a big smile on my face because I love that so much.
You can see her. She has a smile on her
face. Yeah, you actually could see me. It's very interesting what you just said, because it brought me right back to that retreat, because that was one of the greatest things that during the talks that Thich Nhat Hanh would say, is that the most precious gift that we can give another human being is our attention. And isn't that like a full circle moment of, here we're feeling lonely. We're talking about loneliness. I'm not worthy, I don't matter, or whatever. So we have to, you know, go find something to maybe help us out of not feeling so lonely. But then you bring in the equation of what you just said, of presence, of attention, of bringing ourselves back to being where our feet are. So I'm thinking about him saying, be where your feet are. So what we're doing is we're giving ourselves permission to be present. We're giving ourselves the attention that we deserve and that we desire. So then you take that a step further, which that's why I love so much what you said, thinking about the presence of another person. So how would you feel? Let's say I'm feeling lonely.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling lonely right now, and I come to see you. And I say to Michelle, I'm feeling lonely. And you don't have your phone with you. You don't have anything around you. And you give me your full, undivided attention. How then would I feel having the full, undivided attention of another human being? It changes everything.
Yeah.
I'm even having trouble talking about it because I don't know how to process it in my own being because it is so, it's so amazing. It's so transformational. When I walk away from a conversation that I've had with someone who has given me their full attention, it transforms everything. It can transform our whole day.
Yeah.
So imagine then when you think about that being the most precious gift that you can give another human being, imagine if we did that more often for others, but also imagine if we had other people doing that more often for us.
Yeah.
So attention is everything, and attention, learning how to be attentive, learning how to be in the present moment is mindfulness.
Yeah.
Is practicing that ability to be where my feet are.
So it really sounds like we've created an equation to battle loneliness. I think we've really drilled down, and it's a pretty simple equation, but it's not easy. Just like all of the tools and practices that we talk about, they're not always easy, but they can be simple. And it seems like if you can start to place priority on fortifying yourself from the inside out, to start believing in your own inherent worth and ability, and to love yourself and to build up your confidence, taking in whatever you can find in the external world that will strengthen that narrative rather than the ones that we hear that chip away at it or bring up the comparisons or judgments, and give ourselves the gift of our own presence and start to love our own presence, knowing that sitting in your own presence is such a worthwhile practice. Because what's that quote? If there's nothing you've done but sit in your own presence, that's enough.
Yeah.
It's about meditation.
It's about meditation. If all you did was sit for a moment and brought your mind back to the present moment every time it wandered away, it would be enough.
And that's a beautiful practice of just honoring who you are. So fortifying yourself from the inside in that respect, but then fortifying your relationships and your connections with other people, with the external world, by being present to them as well, and showing that that's something that matters to you. The human connection is important, that you're going to make a commitment or make a concentrated effort to be present in conversations, to give all of yourself in an exchange so that another person can feel that as well. It feels like those two things combined can really break away and chip away at some of these uncomfortable feelings that we are feeling right now as far as relating to the human world and to society in general.
I agree
would
completely.
You agree?
Yes, I agree completely. And yeah, I would say one thing, if you just did one thing after listening to this conversation and literally just gave another person in your life your full attention, put the phone away, put it all away, and just actually just did that little experiment of just sitting in the presence of the other person, meaning having the conversation and not needing to be distracted by the phone or the TV or whatever it is that distracts us, music, whatever it is, you will have an epiphany that happens inside of you just by forcing yourself, really, because we're not used to it in many situations, of just being present to the conversation or being with the person that you're with, doing nothing else but just being there.
Yeah.
You will have an experience that can carry you to take the next step, and the next step of everything that you're talking about.
Yeah. And like we were saying, you know, being the scientist of your life, you know, pull out your journal maybe and start to take note of how it feels when you engage with life in that way and have the data to, you know, back it up. Like, oh, I just met with my friend. We went for a walk. We didn't have our phones. I feel amazing afterwards. You know, write that down so that when your mind starts to tell you otherwise, you can say, no, I had this experience and it was this. So whatever thoughts I'm thinking about it are not right. Same thing, you know, oh, I went and did this. My friend was on their phone and it made me feel a certain way. You know, document that too so that you can really see exactly what's going on for you and how it makes you feel so that you can have that data
to help you make better choices and to connect in a different way.
I love it.
I love it.
I love it. And maybe use that affirmation if your mind starts to wander into a hole of negativity or self-doubt. Wait a minute, Barb, I'm going to be where my feet are.
Be where your feet are.
I talk to myself a lot.
You do talk to yourself a lot.
Michelle will say to me often, did you just say something to me? I'll say, no, I'm talking to myself.
But I love it.
Yeah. You start to go down a path. Be where your feet are. I'm going to be where my feet are.
I'm going to be where my feet are. You're going to be where your feet are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
I do too.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you, Michelle.
Love you.
I love you.
Thanks for joining us on this ride. We're so glad you're here with us. Life's full of unexpected twists, and we're all in it together. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe to Life Happens wherever you listen.
Maybe share this with a friend who could use a reminder that we're all just sorting it out one step at a time. Drop your questions in the comments. We'd love to hear from you and might just dive into them in a future episode.
And if you're looking for more ways to cultivate mindfulness and personal growth, check out Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life, our foundation dedicated to mental well-being and empowerment.
Until next time, keep embracing the chaos, keep learning through the mess, and most importantly, keep riding the waves of life. See you next week, friends.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.